Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio here, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. We have so much to talk about. Let's start with the news that is not in your county today, but in Santa Rosa County. We're dealing with what had been last night one and is apparently now two social media threats against schools. And the only reason we have been reporting this morning is because the sheriff's office wanted us to let you know that there's going to be enhanced law enforcement at Hobbs Middle and at Milton High School. Also emphatic that they are protecting your children. And we talked to Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday. And okay. But also I want you to be informed. Your parents, you should, you know, to some degree know. But you and I have talked about school threats. And of course we had one last week on Friday. We had school threats and social media, and you guys had to deal with this, right?
We had one Friday. We had two more yesterday. Ugh. We just put a post out last night that we made two arrests. One was a 12-year-old and one's a 15-year-old for making these school threats. And we're just trying to get people to understand, talk to your kids. If you as a parent decide that your elementary or middle school student can operate on social media platforms, I think that you owe it to them to tell them, first of all, the dangers of being on those platforms, and secondly, the repercussions of making threats or passing along threats, you know, to like this, because we're taking it serious. Enough is enough. You're disrupting schools. You're disrupting our law enforcement agencies. These are not simple jokes or things like that. There's nothing funny about this. So I would hope that you as a parent, even if you think that your children are not on social media platforms, I think we should remind them to explain this to them, and so they understand that these threats are taken very serious and they're criminal, and we are arresting them. Again, enough is enough.
And in this case, at least I know the homeschooled child was on Snapchat. Was the 12-year-old from MacArthur, was that also Snapchat?
It was. It was on Snapchat.
Okay, both Snapchat.
As well.
And look, I know this isn't the heart of the issue, but I have been saying for years that kids should not have social media. I mean, minors shouldn't have social media. I don't even think your kids should usually have phones. Our kids didn't get phones that they had service on until they were, you know, basically going to college. You know, because but social media in particular, if they don't have it, they can't misuse it. And they do misuse it so often, right?
Well, yeah, and there's a couple things here. Santa Rosa County is dealing with it this morning, and we dealt with it for a few days over the last couple of days. We take the school safety very serious. Yeah. We have a deputy or a guardian in every school, and when we have any threat at all, we act immediately, and we take it very serious. Most of these are handled overnight. You know, not even at the school. The one at MacArthur, by the time school started, the child was already in the principal's office, if you will, and we were already investigating that. I know there was a question, well, how come there was not increased police presence at MacArthur? It had already been taken care of. There was already, unfortunately, a child in custody. But we can no longer just sit back and say, oh, it's just a kid being a kid. Because, again, this is disruptive. And we don't know which ones of these are real. We had a 14-year-old shoot up a school. So we take them all very serious. And as a parent, I would hope that our law enforcement agency would take this seriously. And we absolutely do.
So I'm a parent, let's say. I mean, I am a parent. But, you know, I'm a parent, and I see on social media, because every parent sees everything on social media eventually. You know, these things spread like wildfire. That there's some threat dealing with my kid's school. Do I bring my kid to school or do I stay home? How do I know the difference? Because my general answer is, you know, I know you guys have it, okay? My kids are safe and we pray and, you know, okay. But when would the time be to keep them home?
Well, I think there's, again, as I mentioned, we take these things serious. So we immediately send a supervisor out to a school. We start to evaluate these threats. Rest assured, if we think that there's any validity to a threat at all, any credibility whatsoever, we will have more deputies up there than teachers. I'll be up there myself. We will be up at a school if we think that there's someone going to come and place a child or a teacher, a member of the staff in any kind of danger. So I think that what we try to do is we work with the school district very well. I've been on the phone probably 10 times over the last couple of days with our superintendent. We talk about these things all the time, whether it's high school football safety or whether it's the threats that we have. So we have a great communication with our school district, and we're always aware of what the other one's doing. So we're all on the same page here. Yeah. So I guess my point is that if if we think there's any credibility to it, you will have a not just an increased police presence, you will have cops everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and then we everyone will wonder what the cops do, right. Which is fine.
One last follow-up on this subject. I know you said it. In Santa Rosa, every school has an SRO. In Escambia, every school has an SRO or a guardian or multiple. There are high schools, I think, are multiple.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Somebody might ask, but is a guardian enough? Do we need to have an SRO, a actual deputized sheriff or PPD in every school?
Well, and I'll be consistent with what I've said over the past years. I think that a sworn law enforcement officer with a police radio and a marked cruiser car with arrest power should be at every school, every elementary, every middle, every high school. That's you know, you have to be able to afford those things, and you have to make those decisions. So we train the guardians, and the guardian training is pretty extensive. So I feel like it's certainly a step in the right direction. Ultimately, I would like to see deputies in every school or Pensacola police officers in every school, but until then, I think the guardians are they do a really good job. They have done a really good job. We've been working with them throughout because some of these complaints or these threats come from an elementary school. So I think they do a really good job. Yeah, I just want to remind everyone, there's a House Bill 3, I believe it was. It was just passed, and it's going to mean kids under 14, they cannot create social media accounts. And for 14 and 15-year-olds, parental consent is required to open an account. So a lot of the law, and this goes into effect January the 1st, A lot of this law is aimed at the platforms themselves, and they should have these age verification, you know, third-party verification type things. So I just want to remind parents that on January the 1st, their kids, 14 years and under, shouldn't be able to open accounts. Now, it doesn't mean they won't have access to accounts.
Right.
If you're a parent and you decide, again, that your child is okay to be on these social media platforms, then that's up to you to make sure that they understand the dangers.
I'll just say it this way, my own opinion, right? Every single person who can open a social media account means that every single person has the power to become a TV station and a newspaper. And I just don't think that every single minor in the country should be able to own and operate a TV station and a newspaper. There's a reason that we give those licenses out carefully. And this is part of, anyway, I won't ask you to respond to that.
There's hope that there's some vetting on the information.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Most accurate.
You know, unless you think that every kid ought to have a TV station, and I do not. So a couple other things.
I don't think every TV station should have a TV station.
Fair enough. I can't disagree with you about that. Okay, so always weird stories. Randall Laws, he's renting like a shed or something to a couple, and then they leave, and he's got a past conviction for rape, right? So he's a sex offender, and is what the reporting is. And then people show up at his house that night, and what happens? This is bad.
Yeah, well, apparently this couple comes to him earlier in the day, have a conversation. He says, yeah, you can stay in this area of his property. They leave. And in the meantime, he goes to get a hunting rifle from his home. And he's sitting in the garage, I'm assuming with the door open. And he's got this hunting rifle, and he sees these people. Meanwhile, they're around the front, and she's looking through a bag for the key that he had given her for the lock of the gate. And as she's doing this, she gets shot in the face and ends up getting killed. And we arrested him for homicide.
But his explanation,
well,
he claims that people come to his property and harass him because he's on the sex offender list, and he got sick and tired of it. Somebody's trespassing, you can't shoot him anyway without a warning, without anything. You've got to be threatened, right? And he said he didn't feel threatened.
There's a lot wrong here with any statements. And I can't legally go over statements or admissions that people give. I can simply tell you that he gave them a key earlier. And then whenever they tried to use that key, they were shot from a distance. So as you mentioned, there was no threat to him at all. And he ended up taking someone's life. So he's going to have to answer for that.
Crazy. Just a horrible story. You had a shooting involving a man and a brother in Cantonment on Saturday afternoon on Quintet Road or near Quintet Road. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a disturbance. Two brothers involved, and I think a parent was involved. Then one of the brothers ended up shooting the other brother in the abdomen. We looked at it and see if it was perhaps, trying to protect someone else, but there was no danger at the time. The fight took place, and then sometime later, the shooting took place. So there was not an active fight at the time of the shooting, the shooting took place, because that's one of the things that we asked for. Is it reasonable to believe that someone's life was in danger? We talk about that all the time. In this particular situation, the fight had ended, and then he went and got the gun and ended up shooting his brother in the abdomen. So we charged him with the attempted homicide.
And another one that was in the category of maybe it's more of a justified is a woman who hired a couple of people to help clean her house, right?
Yeah.
Where was this one?
Up in the Cantonment area.
Okay, all right.
I don't recall exactly the road, but there's a lady trying to clean up a house that she's trying to get ready to buy or rent or whatever. And so she hires two men to help her out. And while they're helping her out, they decide they're going to rob her, grabbed a firearm, and then they try to take her her purse and try to rob her with a firearm. She grabs a handgun from her purse and starts shooting at them. They scurry off. And as, I guess karma, we get a call that there's an individual at the hospital with a shot up foot. And we think, wait a minute, this seems like it could be
related.
A bad guy.
Yeah,
we go there. Sure enough, he's one of the guys responsible, and we end up getting the other guy responsible as well. So, good for her for being able to protect herself. I'm glad she wasn't victimized further than what she was. And she
Robert gets the bullet. I mean, seems like to me.
Here's the thing, bravo.
Yeah, that's why you have a gun for self protection, especially when people decide to commit crimes against you in your own home. Did want to talk just a little bit about the second now assassination attempt against President Trump. Of course, you're well aware of this, and you and I've talked extensively about the first one. thoughts? I mean, just so you know, because I've been talking about this morning, is I have so many questions that are unanswered at this point.
There are a lot of questions involving this.
Everything from how they're shooting at a guy in the forest and they can't even see him, how he gets this close to the president, what kind of gun, ceramic plates, how does he wait 10, 12 hours and know that he's coming, all of that.
How did he get here? He's not even from Florida, as I understand it. There are a lot of questions. I can tell you that when we look at officer-involved shootings or we look at crimes, we investigate everything. Okay, nothing's off the table, if you will. And while my initial question is, how did he even know they're going to be there? That's the first question. So clearly, whenever they start to debrief this, they're going to say, hey, Secret Service, who knew this?
Right.
Who knew? How did we get – either we have a leak or there's a problem here, and I know.
And I mean, even when was the decision made to go golfing? Because apparently it was pretty impromptu.
Well, I would assume that Trump's immediate team, his close-knit team, maybe Donald Trump himself would say, hey, he would answer that question. Not only he would know. I decided to spur of the moment to get there. And then that's kind of difficult. You can't blame anyone for leaking that type of information if no one knew about it, even his own entourage.
Right.
Because I talked to a lot of Secret Service agents over the years, and sometimes they would either complain about one of their protectees that decides to just go shopping
right.
or go to a Burger King or wherever.
Michelle Obama goes to Target.
And make things a lot more difficult for them because no one knows. You just follow them and hopefully you can get ahead. If that's the case, it's even, how long had the guy been there waiting to do this? I think it's for Donald Trump not to have full presidential protection. In fact, I would even say more than that. He has now been targeted twice.
Right.
And you know that he has a propensity for these large crowds and to go golfing and all that sort of thing. I think that for him not to have full presidential protection plus is just outlandish right at this point.
Yeah. I mean, every other threat is kind of a theoretical unless they have evidence that somebody, you know, for a fact that the threat against Trump is huge. And now it's been tried twice. There's no justification for anything other than maximum protection.
Probably the most protection that we've ever seen from a presidential candidate or from a president.
Right.
Because of he's a former president, and there's only two people running now. We're 2 months out from the election, and he's had not one but two assassination attempts. I think you've got to get off your butt and do something about that.
Agreed. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
You bet. Take care.